Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton here on September 8th from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding. Jared King, our producer here with us as always. We'll have a
good morning.
We'll have a couple of good things on today. We'll have talk some esports coming up later in the either the second or the third segment. We'll see. And a number of new segments today. We're going to do what's called the Fire 3. That'll come up later in this segment. Three picks that I think you should bet on here in the NFL season. And then also we'll talk a little about the NBA Hall of Fame class. And then we'll also play a couple more games called Spread for Spread, where I have to guess the spread, and if not, I buy Jared and Joseph lunch. So, or breakfast, I should say, because it's a morning show. All right, so I want to start with this today. At every company, there are certain jobs and positions where there are more valuable positions. There are some jobs that are easily replaceable. And if you go hire someone, they can do as good or maybe even a little bit better of a job just from because it's a basic, easy job to do. Those are the positions that aren't as highly paid. Le'Veon Bell is holding out. He's getting paid $14 million a year this year, the highest paid running back in football. But he wants a multi-year deal. But there's a reason why the Steelers aren't paying him. Are running backs so valuable to where the number one guy is that different from the number two or the number three on your depth chart? And the answer is no. Running backs are the 10th most valuable position in football financially. Your second best running back isn't that far behind your first best running back. We've seen rookie running backs be very, very successful. It's a next man up league. So it's typically like we see with injuries in the NFL. Backup running backs and third string running backs will get some touches and can be valuable over the first guy just because of the offensive line or the play calling, that the number one running back isn't important enough to where you need to pay him millions and millions of dollars. So Le'Veon Bell's been getting paid a little over $14 million a year because of the franchise tag. Obviously, the Steelers don't want to lose him, but to me, you don't want to pay him $14 million a year for multiple years. And that's what he wants. And there's a reason why NFL teams aren't paying running backs. Because you can go get someone in free agency. You can go get someone in the draft who's just as good as the guy you have now. Running back by committee, meaning multiple running backs playing throughout the year. We've seen the Falcons do it with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. That's becoming more common in the NFL. And when was the last time an NFL Super Bowl game we saw the NFL champs have a dominating running back? It's been a long time. We haven't seen it in quite a while. So that's my point where I'm saying, if you're a GM, and I love to think like a GM because that's how fans need to think, in my opinion. Now, I know you don't because, yeah, you love your guy. You love your running back. But you want to get a position to where these guys are more valuable. For instance, a pass rusher. The top end of the league in pass rushers have a bigger... Let's see, what's the right word for it? I would say a bigger chance for them to be better than the 15th, 16th guy in the league. Where in the running backs, we don't see it. It's not that big of a difference. So the top running back in the league, while yes, that's important to have, and having a good running back can be very vital, it's more important to have a better quarterback, a better pass rusher, even a better offensive line. Again, you got wide receivers above running backs on most valuable positions financially, tight ends, tackles, guards. The only positions not punters, kickers, long snappers, and return guys. I mean, that's basic stats right there for you that can give you an idea of how this is turning out. And this is the reason why Le'Veon Bell isn't going to get paid as much as he wants in Pittsburgh. He might have to hold out, get a one-year deal, and then go sign somewhere else because someone else is going to try and pay him. There are a lot of small market or smaller market teams than Pittsburgh who would be happy to pay a guy like Le'Veon Bell. But my point in all this is that why pay your running backs a lot of money when you can get your second string guy to do just as much as your first string guy? Save that money, spend it elsewhere. Use that cap space to go get a pass rusher. Use that cap space to go get more help on the outside or to strengthen up your offensive line. And that's pretty common now. We're seeing that more and more. The guys are just not doing it. All right, we'll take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to have a new segment. It's going to be called the Fire 3, three picks to bet on. There are three NFL games that I think you should take a look at with betting being legal. It's a lot of fun. And I went in pretty depth with this on to see who these teams have the advantage, especially on the road. And because week one is coming up, that's next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
One country act is great, but Red Sun Festival is bringing you five country acts on an outdoor stage to benefit car fire relief. It's a full-volume country fest on the Reading Civic Auditorium lawn, Sunday, September 30th, with Farron Rachels, David Lennon, Carly Pierce, Frankie Ballard, and headliners Eli Young Band. It's a huge show with a huge heart. $5 from every ticket, plus all net proceeds and donations from the bands go to car fire relief efforts. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 donated. We promise bars, food trucks, and fun. So check out RedSunFestival.com for details. Rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th on the Reading Civic lawn. Get tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Reading Civic box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
It's the Shasta County Mini Maker Fair. It's the open call for makers. So, what do you make? We're celebrating engineering, arts, crafts, science, technology, and do-it-yourself. Your chance to show off your work. Everything from robotics, electronics, gaming, sewing, blacksmithing, crafters, student projects, dance performers, 3D printing, music, performers, and much more. Application deadline is August 9th for the September 15th Maker Fair. Contact makers at makerfairshasta.com or visit shastacounty.makerfair.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Alza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best-tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
This is a repeat broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment 2, Sports Talk with Connor. So I'm actually going to switch things up a little bit today. I'll push back the Fire 3 to the third segment. Joining us now is Mike Munn, who is a good friend of mine. I asked him to talk about some esports stuff because esports now is becoming so big, and I want to understand it a little bit more. So, Mike, thanks for coming on the show. First time first time on the show. And I just got to ask you this. So can you be a big video game? Because it's basically video games for money. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. It's like its own little league, okay, as you can say, for each sport.
So I don't understand, though, why are people tuning in? You got to explain to me and people older than me who are just confused at why esports has become so big that so now people are tuning in, correct?
Yes.
Live to
yes.
watch people play video games.
Yes, and they're filling out stadiums between 200,000 to 300,000 people.
How is that happening? Why is that? Why are people wanting to watch the games, watch the video games more than you watch a real game or play it themselves?
The way I think about it is athletes have freak of nature abilities. Gaming, it can be an everyday person that just spends time on a computer, on a gamepad. It's more like they can be that person.
Okay. All right, makes sense. So it's growing in popularity like crazy.
Yeah.
What games can people play? How, first off, I know guys are getting paid obscene amounts of money to just
yeah.
play video games.
Yeah.
When did that all start?
So I want to say it was the early 2000s is when Twitch, which is a streaming company, became big. And that's when competitors were able to broadcast their games. People were able to watch it. That's how they were making money. And then from there, games like League of Legends, Dota 2, Overwatch made their own leagues. And they use Twitch as a streaming thing for their league, so it doesn't cost much money for them. And
right.
then people are just coming in and watching it.
How many people are tuning in on Twitch nowadays?
See, so like, let's say the biggest streamer right now in the world is Ninja. He streams a game, Fortnite, pretty popular. And he averages about, I want to say, anywhere between 300,000 to 400,000 people a stream.
Wow.
And makes, I want to say his first 3 months where he blew up, made almost about $1.5 million just off of streaming alone.
Wow. So we've seen the NBA start to get involved in this with the 2K League.
Yes.
Are we seeing more professional sports franchises with the video game side of things starting to morph into esports?
It's such a big market that I think they are. And I don't know if you saw, but the NBA 2K League, they're also expanding. So I think it's 4 to 8 more teams have just joined the league as well for the next season. Because of how popular it was this past season.
Now, did you watch it last season?
I did.
I saw that they draft players. So basically you play 5-on-5 and each person is an individual player,
yes.
correct?
Yeah.
Are they going to draft again next year, all new teams? Or
I'm not sure how they're doing the draft system again. But the way it was is there's a My Player system where you create your own person. And then you have to go through a series of basically combines online, see if you qualify to even be in the draft. And then they had a draft combine for those players, and that's how they did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, for the common person who typically wouldn't want to watch esports, what should we tune in? What games should we watch?
2K would be the easiest one for more sports viewers because it's sports based.
Right, which is NBA. Yeah.
Yeah. Games like Overwatch are really high paced. It's basically a first person shooter game where it's basically capture a point. It's a little confusing at times because each character has its own ability, so it's going to take a while to get used to. But these games are actually really entertaining and high-paced.
So, but I just don't understand, why would you rather watch than play? I can understand if you want to play it. I get
right,
that.
Right.
But why would you rather watch? Is it because you want to improve or just because it is that entertaining?
Well, why would you want to watch LeBron James play?
Right, but that's real.
Video games are real to some people.
Okay.
It's
fair enough.
This augmented reality where they feel like they're actually a part of it.
But isn't the reality of sports and the drama of sports what kind of makes it great? Is there something that you can kind of draw a parallel to in esports?
Yeah. So there's actually this drama or narrative underdog stuff in esports as well. There's big stuff. There's a game called Counter-Strike Go. It's an old shooter game. It was very, very, very popular back in the day. And there was many instances where it would be a 3-on-1 situation and the crowd would go crazy if that one person was able to clutch it out. It's that sense of underdog thing where narrators are still able to tell the story through it.
Very interesting. Okay, so what games do you personally play?
I play a lot of Rainbow Six Siege, the first person, Fortnite, and I'm waiting to get to the new 2K to hop in that.
Wow. So how many different games are all games nowadays being played as esports, or is it just specific games?
It's specific games. Mostly fighter games. So, like, we can go back to Street Fighter is a big game. Overwatch is a big game. Dota, League of Legends. Those are all the biggest games right now. They all have their own leagues. But as games come out and they're getting big and popular, they're going into esports.
How often are these guys who are making millions of dollars are playing? And how much are kids nowadays kind of seeing that? And or I should say, how many kids do you think are probably seeing that these guys can make money and thinking, oh, I can do this, and then they play video games all day?
Oh, so many. And as honestly, if it's a craft, so you have to put your time into it.
Right.
And
that makes sense.
Through Twitch is where it's really big, because that's how you get your name out. So if people see that you're good on Twitch, then you can get invited to a team like FaZe, or those are like different Cloud9, which are different esports teams that have their own team within different games.
Right. But doesn't that kind of change it back to and concern us as a society, where now we're having people who are being successful playing video games all day, which is fine, but now it's becoming to where kids see that, and maybe they're playing too much, to where they're not doing other things as well.
Yeah.
Isn't that setting a bad example?
It can, but if the parents are okay with it in this technological world, it's what's going to happen. I'm a big fan of it. I love the way we're growing. I love the direction we're taking. So
are there things that, I guess I would say, that the gaming community can do to try and limit that? Because, I mean, obviously you don't want kids playing 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
But, so are they taking action in that? Or
so, like, streamers, let's say for streamers, they set a time period. So they say, okay, I stream from 8 to 12. After that's leisure time. They show them, like, they on their Instagram, they show themselves working out, stuff like that. The NBA 2K League, they used to have workout sessions in the morning to improve their energy levels and stuff like that, and work as a team. So they're slowly trying to show different ways to incorporate that within it.
And kind of give me the future of esports. Is it's growing, obviously. Is the NFL going to get involved in starting a Madden League? Same with FIFA. Is there more going to be happening? Are we going to see more companies? And we've even seen universities now starting esports teams.
Yeah.
So is this going to grow to where esports is going to be so common, it might even take away from the actual sports productions?
Yeah. We see with Madden, there's already big tournaments and stuff happening right now. With FIFA, there's E3 is a big conference every summer for video games, and FIFA had their own big tournament during E3. It was one of the biggest things in E3, so they're slowly moving into it.
What game station is the best? I mean, kind of talk to me about the analytics of esports and how to get involved and how to make sure that, or how to even watch and how to play specifically.
Well, to watch, it's through Twitch. They stream
is it everything
stuff.
Through Twitch?
It's through Twitch. Disney XD, which is part of ESPN owners.
Okay, right.
Disney XD streams it, and ESPN is actually coming into streaming as well because of the fact that it's a competitive thing.
Sure. No, I get it. It makes sense. I mean, I'd rather watch that than cornhole or whatever is on ESPN.
Hot dog
recently.
Eating contest. Or
I don't know about that. That's pretty fun. I'm a Joey Chestnut fan. So, Jared, you know who that is? Oh, you do? I'm shocked. How many hot dogs do you think you could eat, Jared?
Like 5.
Wow.
Maybe. Not 60, though.
I'm impressed. 5 is good.
It's a good number.
With no water?
I've never tried to eat a hot dog with water. Or dunking it, anyways.
Oh, okay. All right.
I had
one at the game last night.
I've never gotten down to try to break any records.
I actually think you'd be pretty good at it.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not.
I don't know if it is either. I just feel like you'd be good at it. All right, so I kind of explain how this happened to me, because I just am so in shock, and I know it's kind of a new thing, and I want to be on board, but it's tough for me because it's so new, and I feel like an old man when people talk about it. Put it that way.
Well, they only target younger teens and people below the age of 24 is like their target audience. They said they talked about it before. There's a great documentary on Netflix, too. It's like a how-to documentary on esports. And basically, you just have to be into the sport alone. It's tough to get into it if you don't know about the game. And not all games are popular to everyone. Like, I'm not a big Dota fan because it's a MOBA game mode, which is like, basically you send your troops different places and they fight themselves. I'm not a big fan of that.
So you're not a management guy?
No, no.
See, when I play video games very occasionally, I like the management factor. I don't care about – I don't really enjoy the playing part, like the manage thing. So that would – I mean
– yeah, you would watch them send their troops and try to take down a castle or whatever it
right,
is.
Right, right.
I'm more of an Overwatch, first-person shooters, watching someone control a person, different ways they use the character. And the fun part about it is you can go back and say, okay, this is how I watch them play. Maybe I should incorporate that into my game.
So you kind of go on Twitch and say, all right, maybe I can improve on that. Yep. That's some good tips. So is that a lot of people doing that to try and get better, or are they just watching from the pure entertainment factor?
It's a little bit of both. So you would see people who watch it for pure entertainment. They love the game. They love the sport. And others who take it back and say, okay, I can improve on this. Maybe I can start streaming if I learn how to do this. Maybe I can start making money if I do this.
Are we going to see esports become an official sport here pretty soon, you think?
So what's your definition of a sport?
I don't know what my definition of a sport is. I just know that we're calling it esports.
Right.
Which, and it's going to be played on ESPN.
Yep.
So for a lot of the reasons that cheerleading was said it was not a sport a while ago, this kind of counteracts. We can even say like NASCAR is a sport.
Right.
So a lot of these different things are considered sports and not considered. I don't really know. I'm just curious to what. Are we? I mean, we're going to see people compete at the college level and professionally.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it something that could trickle its way all the way down to the Olympics? Things of that nature.
I'm not sure about the Olympics, but I know for sure in the college level. I know Simpson University is actually looking into esports as well. So it's growing.
And you can have, I mean, unlimited people on an esports team, correct?
Yeah. So, like, let's say, like, a team called Cloud9. The different thing is, like, imagine if the Lakers had a team in the NBA, NHL, MLB. That's how it is run in esports right now. So a team like Cloud9 has a team in Overwatch, Counter-Strike, Dota, and it's multi-sponsored.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's just hard to wrap my mind around a little bit.
Yeah, it's a tough concept. It's new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you just never thought would be big, and it's growing immensely, isn't it not?
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm not a big video game guy, but I will sit down every once in a while. I'm not very good, so like there's no reason for me to play online. All right, Mike Munn, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Explaining to me how this works. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. We got a couple of new things coming up next. That's next with Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
This is Carl Linda Bott. Join us the week of 17 September for Kristen Schrader on Monday, Barry Tippin on Tuesday, the Sheriff on Wednesday, our DA on Thursday, and Mike DeQuisto on Friday. A whole week of politics, law and order, and rebuilding our city. All of this, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
This is Andy Main bringing you a news update from high-speed internet provider ShastaBeam.com. We've had a great response from the community regarding the recent car fire from residents who were evacuated or had their homes burned. We're happy to report that all of our towers providing high-speed internet services are in operation, and we're installing new equipment on those towers that suffered fire damage. We continue to send our condolences to those who suffered losses, and we are still offering expedited installation services to those who need high-speed internet and phone services installed at their addresses. Call us today at 605-2203 or Google ShastaBeam.com on your smartphone to pre-qualify your address or to inquire about our services. ShastaBeam has been providing high-speed wireless services to the North State since 2004. We provide services to all areas that have slow internet. Call ShastaBeam today at 605-2203 or visit ShastaBeam.com to pre-qualify your address and order online today. This is Andy Main wishing you fast, reliable internet from ShastaBeam.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
This is a repeat broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment 3 here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton on September 8th, 2018. All right, new segment time. This is the start of the NFL season. It's going to be called Spread for Spread. How this is going to work. Joseph is going to tell me who is playing. I have to guess the spread. If I'm within 1.5 points in either direction, then that counts. I have to go 6 for 10, which is 60%, which is going to be tough. I have to go 6 for 10. If I go 6 for 10, I win, which means nothing. And if I lose, which I think I'll win, but we'll see, I'll buy you guys breakfast. Sounds good. You guys should be happy by this.
That sounds great to me. I'm excited.
Jared, have you already eaten?
No, dude. I just woke up like 5 minutes before I got here.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So it's going to be great. Hopefully I get it right. All right, so Joseph's going to tell me the game. I have to say the spread. And it's going to call it Spread for Spread. Let's go. Here we go.
So we're starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Bills at Ravens.
Ooh. Okay, so here's the problem with this game, though. Not that this is, but the Bills are kind of a wild card right now. And week one is by far the toughest game spreads to pick because there's no records. This is all based on last year and preseason and basically projections in a way. The Ravens are, you said Bills at Ravens? Mm-hmm. Ravens are obviously favored in this game. I'm going to say, ooh, this is tough. This is tough. I'm going to say Ravens minus six.
That's a win. -7.5. So you're within a point and a half.
One for one. I like it.
All right, moving on. Jaguars.
I was thinking a little bit less, but let's go. It's fine.
Well, go with your gut.
Yep.
Jaguars at Giants.
Ooh. This is going to be a close one as well. This is going to be much spread because Jacksonville is a good team, but Blake Bortles, this is going to be tough. Giants are going to be favored barely. I'm going to say Giants -1.
Incorrect. The Jaguars are favored.
They are favored.
3-point spread.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Ooh, I can't believe that should be on my Fire 3. Did I tell you the three games you can't use, by the way, because I'm using them next segment?
Nope.
Okay, well, I'll let you know when you get them. Jared's got a tally. One for one. One breakfast, one no breakfast.
Jared broke out a whiteboard. All right.
That's great.
All right. Next game, we're going Buccaneers at Saints.
All right, this is a tough one because the Buccaneers are terrible. Ryan Fitzpatrick's in for Jameis Winston because of the
suspension.
Right. So, and so you said it's at New Orleans?
Yep.
New Orleans -8.5.
That's a win. 9.5-point spread. Yep.
Jared's frustrated.
Obviously for the Saints.
Right. Oh, yeah. The Saints are going to win that game. I honestly, I might take the Bucs in that spread. That sounds kind of shocking.
9.5 is a lot.
That's a lot of points. And the Bucks are bad, but they're not like so bad to where they're going to get blown out.
It's a nice little chance where you can win some money there.
Yeah. Well, I'll have my top three places. Again, my fire three that I'm going to try to do every week if I can do it quickly.
All right. Moving on. Next game, we got Texans at Patriots.
Ooh. It's going to be another relatively big spread, but the Texans aren't bad. Their defense is okay. They had a lot of injuries last year. Obviously, J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson. Patriots -6.5.
Patriots -6. That's another win. I'm impressed.
Jared's so frustrated. I'm telling you, this is fun. Go ahead.
If healthy, Houston can be a good team. All right. Moving on, we got 49ers at Vikings.
Okay, this is one of my picks. I can't use
moving on. We got Bengals at Colts.
That's also one of my picks. Okay. So we got to move on from that one.
Titans at Dolphins?
I don't have that one. So Titans at Dolphins. Both these teams are not very good. The Dolphins are going to be maybe favored by, this isn't my answer, maybe favored by one in my head. Titans, Marcus Mariota, they're not great. I don't even think I can name another player on their team, which is sad. Dolphins minus, it's at Miami?
Yep.
Dolphins -2.
This is a tough one, but you're wrong. Tennessee -1.
Really? Yeah,
so close. Too close to call.
Yeah, the problem is I would never bet on this game because I have no idea how these two teams are going to perform. And like I said, week one betting is always kind of strange because you never know. Never bet on preseason either, by the way. One of the worst things you could do. Just a side note. You never know what's going to happen. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right, moving on.
What is it? 3-2. I've gotten 3 right, 2 wrong. So right now I'm on pace for 6-10.
We got Steelers at Browns.
I think this is one of my games. Let's see. No, it's not. The other one's Seattle-Denver. All right, so say it again.
Steelers at Cleveland.
All right, I think Cleveland's going to be pretty good this year. They could make the playoffs. Sleeper team. Make the playoffs. I think they're over-under wins with 6. Take the over on that now, by the way. Denver is going to... I'm not Denver. Say it again. Steelers?
Steelers?
Steelers 4.5.
Steelers Cleveland -4.5. Steelers -4.5, spot on. That's a win.
Jared is so frustrated right now. He thought he had a guaranteed breakfast.
I'm impressed. So, all right, moving on. We got Kansas City and San Diego. Whoa, Los Angeles. Chiefs and Chargers.
Wow.
A little bit of nostalgia there.
I should get the point just for you saying that. San Diego, say it again.
Chiefs at Chargers.
Oh. Who knows how the Chiefs are going to be this year? God, they're such a wild card. Patrick Mahomes is either going to be decent or awful. I don't think his ceiling is not very high. I don't care if people say he's got a big arm. So the Chargers are going to be decent this year. They might win the division, too, by the way. Because Denver's not great. Oakland, who knows what they're going to be this year with John Gruden. So Denver is at home. Not the down Denver. San Diego.
LA.
Yep. At home. Thank you. LA -5.5.
Incorrect.
What was it?
3.5.
Wow.
Favor of the Chargers, yep.
I think I would take the Chargers in that, big time.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
Wow.
We got
okay.
Cowboys at Panthers.
Cowboys at Panthers. It's 4 right, 3 wrong so far, so I'm 4-7. So I got to go 6-10. I got to get 2 out of the next 3 right. Say it again.
Cowboys at Panthers.
Okay. This is a tough one. Panthers could be good this year. It's all based on Cam Newton. So Panthers are going to be, I'm going to say, Panthers -1.5.
Panthers -3.
Yeah, I'll take that. Thank you, Jared.
Within 1.5.
I should have made it to where you guys to buy me breakfast if I get these right. Because you would have took that bet, I think.
Oh, I would have taken it.
Yeah. Okay, so 5-8. Got to get 1 of the next 2. I'm doing pretty good.
All right, here we go. Bears at Packers.
Oh, Bears at Packers.
Chicago going to Green Bay.
Okay, Green Bay is going to be... These are the ones that are... There's heavy underdogs, are the ones that are tough to figure out. So I'm going to say Packers -7.5.
I scrolled down, found this game to try and stump you. Packers -7.
So do we even need to do the... Jared's throwing things. Do we even need to do the last one? Let's do the last one for fun. 6-10. I'm already... 6-9, so let's get this next one. Here,
all right,
real quick.
Just one more, just talk about the Raiders a little bit. Rams at Raiders.
Rams at Raiders?
Yep.
Raiders are going to win this game, by the way. I know. So the Rams are going to be favored, though. No, I'm sorry. I don't think Raiders are going to win. I think you should take the Raiders in this game. Rams, it's at in Oakland. Rams minus 3.5.
Rams minus 4.5. Yep.
So 7-10. Jared's.
No breakfast.
No breakfast. Okay, so, and I hope I gave you a little bit of a taste of who to take in those games, too, if you're a guy who enjoys sports betting. All right, real quick, we got a few minutes left in the segment. Let's get to the Fire 3, shall we, Jared? Let's do it. My three picks based on the spread that I think you should take a look at. Because these are games that I think Vegas or whoever is a little bit off on. First one, San Francisco at Minnesota. Minnesota is minus 6.5 on this game. Now, I think the Vikings had a unbelievable year last year, but I don't think they were as good as everyone thought they were. And coming into this year with Kirk Cousins, he's not comfortable in the new system. They have some weapons, but I think the 49ers match up really well, and especially with a good O-line. It could be a very high-scoring game, by the way. Also, here's the problem with these games, though, is Kirk Cousins and Jimmy G haven't been in their offenses up very long. However, Garoppolo has been really good ever since coming to San Francisco. And he's played well against good defenses, which Minnesota has. So I would take San Francisco in this game and on the spread. So Minnesota minus 6.5. I think it'll be around 27-23, maybe in favor of Minnesota. I hope the Niners win because I'm a Niner fan, but I just don't think that they're going to be able to beat Minnesota just because Minnesota's got too many weapons defensively. Preseason, though, Minnesota did have some holes, so that's why I'm going with a favorite of the San Francisco 49ers on this one. But again, Minnesota minus 6.5, take the Niners. Second one, Cincinnati at Indiana. Indiana minus 2.5. Oof, this is going to be tough. I just don't think Indianapolis is very good this year. With Andrew Luck coming back off injury, they've always struggled with offensive line play. Their defense hasn't been good recently in the last 5 years. And their O-line is going to have to deal with Geno Atkins, which is going to be a nightmare. Bengals are still a pretty solid team. Andy Dalton is a B-to-B-plus quarterback on occasion. And they have one of the most consistent offenses in the NFL, in my opinion. So I'm going to take Cincinnati. I actually think Cincinnati's going to win this game. And it's Indianapolis minus 2.5, and I'm going to take Cincinnati. Last one, Seattle at Denver. Denver's favored by 3 in this game because it's at Sports Authority Field. Why is Denver favored? I can't even figure this one out. It's just because I don't think Seattle's going to be very good, maybe. I don't know. But Seattle is still good enough to win this game, and their defense is pretty good. It's going to basically boil down to how much Russell Wilson can do offensively. And again, Denver's defense is really good linebacker-wise. They have a good D line, but other than that, they struggle. So on the perimeter is the secondary is where they can get eaten up. And of course, Case Keenum is Denver's quarterback. I don't trust that guy as far as Jared can throw him. So I'm going to take Seattle in that matchup. Denver might actually think Seattle's going to win this game as well. So those are my Fire 3 again. San Francisco, take them. Minnesota minus 6. Take Cincinnati as Indianapolis is favored, and take Seattle as Denver is favorite. All right, that's the Fire 3 from this week. We'll try to do that every week, maybe every other week. When we come back, we'll talk NBA Hall of Fame and a little bit more next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
Monday Night Football is back, baby. Raiders, Niners, Seahawks, Cowboys, Vikings. Where you at? Bet the Bookie returns again this year with Kenny Breedlove. Win cash and prizes every Monday night. Monday Night Football kicks off this year with a doubleheader on September 10th. The Jets versus the Lions and the Rams take on the Raiders. Come get your football fix at Shameless O'Leary's. The best wings, burgers, and Irish nachos in town. Plus, over 16 brews on tap and over 100 unique whiskeys behind the bar. Wear your favorite team jersey and come play Bet the Bookie every Monday night. It's free to play and an absolute blast for couples or serious football fans. Place your bet and win. Don't forget Sunday Funday with the NFL ticket and Sunday brunch. Bloodies, mimosas, and a full breakfast menu. If you want to watch football, make it Shameless O'Leary's, California Street, downtown Reading.
Football, you say? Well, I've got $100 here. Says football's supposed to be played with your feet.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
When you're looking at a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
This is a repeat broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Bum, 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 bum. All right, we're back for a segment. A lot of good stuff today. I kind of switched around the show from what my notes were planned. Last week, Jared, as I told you, as I walked in for the show at around 8:01 or whatever it was, completely forgot my notes. So I had to retype my notes or try and remember my notes off the top of my head from when I wrote them on Thursday. So that was a nightmare. But I did bring them today, and I've learned my lesson. So it's good to have that peace of mind. You know what I mean, Jared? So I am now, because I said it earlier, I'm a fan, and Jared, I'll be your sponsor for you to become a professional hot dog eater. Take on Joey Chestnut. And I know exactly how to train. You just eat a lot of hot dogs.
That's all you have to do?
I don't know. I think so.
Really?
What else would they have to do?
Man, that sounds so simple. Who would have thought it?
But, I mean, you got to get 50-something down, though.
I think it's over 60 at this point.
Is it over 60?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. You can do it, Jared.
I have literally seen balloons that they filled with the hot dogs, that amount of hot dogs that they have eaten, and I don't know how that's physically possible.
It's probably very unhealthy.
Probably.
So you should do it. Right on.
Thanks for your support, bud.
Please, there's probably good money in that, Jared. You can probably get like a...
Well, at least I won't go hungry.
Right. Oh, good Lord. All right. So, Hall of Fame class for the NBA and WNBA was brought up. I think they had the ceremony this week. But one thing I want to bring up, I was watching some Steve Nash highlights this week, and I actually tweeted about this because I thought it was pretty incredible. Most players in the NBA, or even most sports, they're built for their time period. People always talk about Jordan versus LeBron, but if Jordan played nowadays, he wouldn't be as effective because he can't shoot as well from the outside. But in his era, there wasn't a whole lot of outside shooting. So players are kind of built for their era. You see the heavy, lot of fouls style of basketball where a lot of hard fouls we saw in the paint. The rough and tough Pistons who would foul basically anybody who came into the paint. And nowadays, obviously, that wouldn't fly. But the point on this is that you see players are typically built for their time period of when they played. But Steve Nash is kind of against this a little bit. Nash was, alongside Mike D'Antoni in Phoenix, kind of started a, let's say, fast-paced style of basketball to where They spread the floor so much that it basically allows Nash to pick apart the defense by getting into the paint and kicking out or getting all the way to the rim and being able to score. But Steve Nash, if he played today, would be even more effective than he did, than he would have been when he did play. Because now that basketball, the floors are spread more often, there are more shooters, Nash would be racking up assists. Now, in my opinion, he's the greatest passer of all time. He might not have the most assists of all time. I think John Stockton holds that. But I think Stockton holds steals too, right? Pretty sure off the top of my head, yeah. But in my opinion, Nash is the best passer of all time, in my opinion, and a top 10 shooter of all time. People don't talk about his shooting. But can you imagine if he played today, where the three-point shots are more valuable than ever, he can use his ability to shoot the basketball to make players come out at him, and then he can drive by and then kick to other shooters. When the Phoenix was so good that year, they had Amari Stoudemire, Rajah Bell, Leandro Barbosa, Sean Marion. They had a very, very good team. They weren't great defensively, but they had a good team. But think about what happened to Amari Stoudemire once Steve Nash was not on his team. He got that big deal to go to New York and basically flopped. And my point in that is Amari Stoudemire, while a good NBA player, was considered good and made all-star teams because of Steve Nash's play. And we don't see too many point guards nowadays who set guys up the way Nash set up Amari. And if you put Steve Nash on the Golden State Warriors, you put Steve Nash on even the Cavs last year when they had LeBron, he would just absolutely pick people apart and would even be more valuable then than he was when he played, which is, I would say, in the heyday of Steve Nash, right around 2005, 2006. He won back-to-back MVPs, even though I think probably one of those should have gone to Kobe Bryant. But that's debatable. So Steve Nash, alongside Ray Allen, alongside Grant Hill, alongside Mo Cheeks, a couple of WNBA players inducted in the Hall of Fame. But even Steve Nash compared to Jason Kidd, Nash was the far better passer, in my opinion. I wouldn't even say passer. I would say the way he set guys up. However, Jason Kidd was a better defender. So you can kind of debate that a little bit, but I don't think Jason Kidd would be as valuable nowadays because he had to develop his shooting ability at the end of his career. So, Nash, so important in revolutionizing the NBA. There would be no Steph Curry, in my opinion, without Steve Nash. Because Nash kind of created this era of basketball where the floor is spread, you get guys out to the three-point line, you kick it to them, and they shoot quickly. So, Nash is really responsible from where the game of basketball is played right now, more than any other player ever. Now, you could say just Steph Curry is responsible for it as well, but I think Nash kind of encouraged Curry to get him into this spot of where we shoot a lot of threes, we spread the floor, and get open shooters good looks. So Jason Kidd, obviously, and I was going to say Ray Allen hit one of the biggest shots in NBA history. I think that was game 6 of the NBA Finals against the Spurs. The step back in the corner, had to retreat into the three-point line. Truly incredible. So congratulations to all these guys being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And also, though, it seems to me that too many players nowadays are getting into the Hall of Fame. I don't know. I just like basically on the smell test if Grant Hill should get in. Grant Hill was great. But just based on, I have to look at his stats and I have to look at a bunch of different things. But without looking at his stats, Grant Hill would seem like a bubble guy. However, he's a little over the 3-year window. But so what this 3-year window does after the Hall of Fame, after you retire to get into the Hall of Fame does, is it kind of muddies the waters a little bit for the older players. Because if you were a bubble guy 10 years ago, you retired 10 years ago, and then now that Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, Ray Allen, all these guys just retired, so they basically become in a part of your considered Hall of Fame class. And this is very different for NFL and Major League Baseball. You got to be out, I believe, 10 years for the MLB. So it's not allowing these older players to get into the Hall of Fame, so it's all these new guys coming in. It's kind of a strange system for the NBA Hall of Fame, and there's guys, in my opinion, that have been missed, Chris Webber being one of them, to get into the Hall of Fame. Real quick, I talked about this last week that I would bring this up. Super Bowl picks, I'm going to have the Patriots winning, beating the Rams. Do you have that historic question? All right, so this is a new segment as well, fan or spam. Am I a true fan or am I a fake fan? Let's see, Joseph, what is it? What do we got?
So you kind of impressed me a little bit in your spread picks. So
yeah.
I dug deep. I found a tough one for you.
Okay.
So I need you to tell me the Kings' all-time leader in box plus minus. So per 100 possessions, this player for the Sacramento Kings has been better and would score if the Sacramento Kings with this player on them per 100 possessions
ever?
Would score the most points against any NBA team.
Wow.
The Sacramento Kings' all-time leader in box plus minus.
Wow, you did dig deep for that. Where'd you find that?
NBA reference.
Okay. All right. It's Sacramento. It does not count.
Oh, yeah. It's
only Sacramento. Okay. All right. I'm going to say, so obviously you got Mitch Richmond, Peja Stojaković, Chris Webber. All these guys are going to be involved. And it's you said per 100 what games?
100 possessions.
What do you mean 100 possessions?
100 possessions. That's how most NBA stats are.
Right, but how long do they just could be any player ever? Yeah. So they could play two games for the Kings and be in this category.
No, because if you play two games, you're going to have a limited number of possessions, and so your box plus minus is going to reflect that.
Okay, so but you could play for like one season.
It's not a trick question.
Yeah, it seems like
it's not a trick question. It's tough.
I'm going to guess. I don't think it's Mitch Richmond. I don't think it's Chris Webber. I don't think it's DeMarcus Cousins. I'm going to say Ron Artest.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
You're wrong.
Who is it?
Chris Webber.
Oh, it is Chris Webber. All right. Well, I didn't think that he would. I thought you were going to try to stump me, I guess. So I figured Ron Artest played a short period of time. They won a lot of games with him. Mm-hmm. That was my theory. All right, well, we'll try to do that a couple every week. Spam or spam, evidently I don't know the Kings very well, but whatever. Thanks, Joseph, for making that tough. I think next week we'll have more of the same with the betting stuff. Because I think now that sports betting is legal and it's more fun to try and think about who's going to win. Here's the thing, you don't have to actually bet, but it's interesting to see how Vegas, and this is what I'm fascinated with, how Vegas comes up with these numbers. And so I try to see if I'm able to do something similar in my head quickly. And today we're going to shorten it, though, and make it only one. Instead of 1.5 in each direction, we're only going to make it one just to make it a little bit tougher and hopefully get these guys some breakfast. All right, thanks, ladies and gentlemen. My thanks to Joseph Van Dyke, Mike Munn coming on talking esports and explaining to me that phenomena. And Jared King, our producer, as always. This has been Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Have a great rest of your weekend.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.